Thank all of you for coming this evening. Your presence and your prayers are great encouragement for the family. We're gathered here for memorial service conducted in the loving memory of Bob Amick, who has gone home to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bob was born into the world on August 26, 1944, and passed on to the joy of heaven on July 26, 2015, and he was 70 years of age. May we all through this service seek the comfort of the Holy Spirit and God's holy word regarding the hope and the certainty of the resurrection through Jesus Christ for all who embrace Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what we'd like to do is begin with three memorials. First of all will be Barbara, and then Heather, and then Greg. So Barbara, Bob's wife, if you would like to step up and...
Can you hear me? I don't have a lot to say, just a few things I wanted to share to try to tell you a little bit about the man that you didn't know. He came with me to church very few times and just wasn't known in this town too well. He had a very few select friends here, not many. But he was a smart, intellectual, wonderful, amazing man who was multi-talented with a good, warm, kind heart underneath all of his protection mechanisms. He did keep himself protected very well. He didn't forget anything, good or bad, whatever happened to him, which framed much of who he was in the day-to-day. And ultimately plagued him with much deep pain from life itself, and you know how that is. In spite of that, he maintained his rich sense of humor. He enjoyed passing time listening to music by various artists, and he expressed deep appreciation and love to his family and friends. Not always, but he did. He really did. Deep in his heart, he and I loved each other deeply. And I expect to see him in eternity one day. And I long to see our entire family there as well. That's all.
So let's see if I can make it through this. It's a tough one. So you've all heard how important music was to my dad. It wove its way throughout his life and subsequently into ours. As a little girl, I used to sit in the bathroom and watch as he got ready, shaving and brushing his hair. He'd always take his time primping, spraying hairspray and then restyling his hair, making sure his mustache was perfect. Then he'd blow himself a kiss in the mirror. He was a good-looking man. I think he knew it. He used to tell me when he was done that Carly Simon wrote "You're So Vain" for him, not Warren Beatty. I have another special memory of Dad from around the same time. We were listening to Stevie Wonder's "Isn't She Lovely," the song with the baby crying in the beginning. And Dad told me he wrote that one for me, so I smile and think of him every time I hear that song. He and I had a special bond. He called me his baby girl, whether I was 3 or 43. And I want to just finish up by reading a poem that Dad wrote that was inspired by John Lennon's death, called 120880. Into the mystic, yes, awe and wonder. The known place I have not yet seen, some call it heaven. Into the mystic, here comes the sun, bright over the infinite sky. Here comes the sun. Wherever he leads, I'll follow the sun. I pray you will be there to see me. I pray I will be there to see you. So, Dad, I know I'll see you, but until then, I'm going to miss you terribly. I'll turn it over to his good friend, Greg.
My name is Greg Figueroa, and I'm fortunate enough to call Bob Abick my friend. I have nuts and bolts part of the presentation tonight. The love part came from his family, and although we loved him as well, it's always great to see that people coming up here and expressing that. When I started working on the obituary, I mean on the eulogy, I said, how can I possibly do justice to a man that was so complex and so interesting and so involved in everything in a short period of time? And I said, I just can't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my best to give you Bob as I see it in a nutshell, and I hope I do him justice, because that's what he deserves. He loved to talk about his family first. Bob Dylan was next, but he'd love to talk about his family. And one of the things that he constantly told me how much he appreciated his family and how much he loved them and how much he cared for them. The first thing that came to mind in our conversations is that Barb was the love of his life. And I said to him, you can't have a better partner. You can't have a better spouse. You couldn't have a better caregiver. And he says, Greg, I know it. He says, I know it. And then I said, well, that booming voice, he always, no matter where you were, you could hear Bob. And one of the reasons that we met in the first place was sometimes things happen in life that are fortuitous. And for us, my wife and I, Pam, we were in American Legion, and I was wearing a Bob Dylan t-shirt. And he immediately zoomed in on me like a laser beam. And he says, you like Bob? Because I like Bob. And I didn't know which Bob he meant. But we became good friends. We were friends from that night that we met until the day that we were with him at the hospital. And all of those little journeys in between. Bob Amick, they're synonymous. Bob was a generous, loving, faithful, bright, very bright, funny, loyal, and grateful. And he was a proud man in many different ways. He was filled with love for many things, for his faith, for his country, for his family, and his friends. In addition to Barb, he had Heather, Cameron, Mark, his mom and dad, which he spoke about frequently, and all of the grandchildren or all the children in between, all of those loved ones in between. And then there was Bob Dylan. I had a running battle with him from day one as to who was the biggest, the most number one fan of Bob Dylan of all time. And I'm wearing the t-shirt tonight. And we used to join him and Barb at the Legion. And I brought 10 t-shirts showing him how much better a fan than I was than he was. And then he'd bring me 12. And then I'd bring a hat, and he'd bring a CD. And then I'd bring a t-shirt, and he'd bring a DVD. So it was a long-running battle, and we enjoyed that. And I also, towards the end of his life, I relinquished the number one Bob Dylan fan, and I made up some t-shirts that he was happy to wear in his last few days. And I also told Barb to tell Bob, please tell him, that Bob was the number one Bob Dylan fan in the universe. And apparently he enjoyed that. And I would also like to tell you that Bob was multifaceted. There wasn't anything that he didn't know or he didn't know a lot about. If you mentioned something, he already knew it. He was happy to tell you. And he would go into detail of all of the intricate elements of the subject that we were talking about. He was like a gem, a rough gem with rough edges and many planes, many, many facets to the man. And if you got to know him very well, just about the time that you think that you've got him figured out, he messes you over and he finds something else about him. But the one thing I was universal was how much he loved his family. So, let me see what else. He was, there was a song that Bob and I, a couple of two or three different songs that we spoke together that have a particular meaning. Among all of the stuff that he knew, he was to send me emails, he would send me texts, he would leave messages on my phone, which I didn't erase, and I'm glad I didn't. Was Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle. Sometimes as you go through life and you find something that is particularly important to you that you don't want to give up, you wish that you could bottle it up and then you never lose it. Bob's and Barb's friendship to us was just that very thing. We wish that we could have bottled it, and today Bob would be sitting here and we wouldn't have to worry about it. But one thing that he told me was, I'm not afraid of dying. I have my faith. And he says, as long as I have that, everything else is going to be okay. So. Bob and I shared many things, especially the appreciation of Bob's lyrics. And I would hope that you will allow me to read a little bit of one of the songs that he was especially fond of. He spoke frequently of his father that he lost when he was 6 years old. So his father was to him always forever young. Some of the lyrics that from the Bob Dylan song Forever Young. So if I get a little emotional towards this part of it, you know, just forgive me for a moment, but I always felt like the amount of grief is directly proportional to the amount of love that you have for that person. We wouldn't be grieving so much if he didn't mean so much to us. So let me read a little bit of this, and let me see if I can get through it. Forever young, may God bless you and keep you always. May your wishes always come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow to be true. May you always know the truth and the lights surrounding you. May you always be courageous. Stay upright and be strong. May you stay forever young. May your hands always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation while the winds of change shift. May your song always be sung. May you stay forever young. And when I started reading through that, Bob was popping up all over the place. He was determined. He was honest, and if you ever wondered how he felt about anything, just ask him. He'd tell you. So I want to finish up by reading two lines from one of the poems that he wrote, and Heather's already gone through that, but I wanted to end with this. It's the 120880, and I think Heather spoke about that. I pray you will be there to see me. I pray that I will be there to see you. So when he left us here, and went to heaven to meet the Lord, I hope that we will see each other again. And the one thing that I always said was, and I said it to my wife and I said it to others, the legacy that Bob is going to leave behind is the books that he left behind, that he wrote. He's going to give you some insight on how he feels about things. And everybody agreed. And I said, oh, wow, isn't that a cool thing I just said? But the legacy that he leaves behind that will go on and on and on is his wife and his children and his grandchildren and his friends. And as long as we maintain him in our hearts, he will never go away. Bob left us a legacy, and we didn't know about it, but it's us. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, Heather, and Greg, for those words. Let's pray. Sovereign and gracious Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. You give life and breath and all things. You have numbered our days, and in your providence you work all things according to the counsel of your will. We thank you that through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, all who believe upon him receive not only the forgiveness of sins, but the hope of everlasting life. O Lord, I pray that Bob's family will find peace and hope in the glorious promise of the gospel. O Lord, I ask that you would indeed be a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And I pray that the good news of the gospel would shine gloriously in this time of loss, mingled with the greatest of hope, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, let's attend carefully to the gospel as found in God's Word. I'm going to be reading three selections from God's Word. I'm going to read Psalm 23, John chapter 14, and then a selection from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our message for this evening. It's based upon 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." Let's pray. Lord God, as we so briefly look at this text along with some others with the good news of Jesus Christ, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give ears to hear, hearts to understand and believe. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the loss of a loved one to death is very, very hard. And so Barbara, Heather, Mark, and all who love Bob, we pray that you would find not only comfort regarding your loss, but may we all find hope of life after death, which is to be found in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ. For here in these few words from 2 Timothy, we discover the hope that we need in the face of the grim reality of death. So I encourage everyone to behold the amazing hope that flows from this one single verse. After all, this verse is about the greatest event in all of history. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Here Paul exhorts us to remember this great Easter truth. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. This good news is for our health, spiritually, emotionally. It's for our encouragement, our hope, and our faith. And there are actually two things that we find in these brief words here, which we're to remember, which is the death of Christ, as well as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, from the grave. And the remembering to which the Apostle Paul is calling us is meant to be a very special type of remembering regarding the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it's meant to be a remembering which actually penetrates deep into the heart and deep into the soul. This kind of remembering goes far deeper than something like maybe merely attending an Easter service once a year with an inspiring choir and a message. What Paul has in mind is a remembering of something so incredibly important, so incredibly significant, that the very life and the hope of all who place their trust in Christ is deeply impacted by the implications of Christ's defeat of the grave. And have you ever thought about that? Jesus Christ defeated our greatest enemy of the grave. Now, elsewhere in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, the Apostle Paul also writes this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Have you ever doubted God's love? According to what I just read, God proves his love in that even while we were undeserving, even while we were rebellious sinners, Christ died for us. This one fact alone goes a long way in helping us overcome doubts regarding God's love. But at the same time, we have a problem, because God is more than just love. And the problem is that due to our sin, due to our rebellion against the one who gave us life, the one who created us, because of our rebellion, we are under God's anger, God's wrath. But because Christ, in love, paid the penalty in full for all of our offenses on the cross, those who believe in Christ are now justified by the blood of Christ. Meaning that for those who trust in Christ, God has forgiven every single one of our sins, past, present, and any we will commit in the future. Because of what Christ did for us on the cross, all who believe are now made right with God. And that means that God now fully and without any reservation whatsoever completely loves and accepts all those who believe in His precious Son. Yet another benefit from remembering and believing in what Christ has done, well, consider Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26, which describes part of the scene when Christ was hanging on the cross. And we read this. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" In those horrific final hours on the cross, Christ descended into hell, meaning that not only were our sins placed on Him as our substitute, and thereby Christ took the punishment that we should have undergone, but it also means that Christ was forsaken by God. Remember, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ was forsaken by God, and this was because the Father is so holy that He cannot fellowship with sin. Douglas Kelly writes, "Above all else, hell is God-forsakenness." So here's the good news. God the Father abandoned His Son so that He would never have to abandon you if you're trusting in Christ, neither now nor forevermore. So Paul commands us, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Remembering what Christ has done on the cross does wonderful things for our faith, for our hope, each and every day of our lives. But according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, we're not only to remember Christ's death on the cross, we're also to remember Easter, Jesus Christ risen. Jesus Christ rose from the grave some 2,000 years ago, and He continues to be alive today and forevermore. And so we need to remember regarding the resurrection, in which Christ defeated the grave, every single person who trusts in Christ is supernaturally joined to Christ's conquering of death. And this means that they too will rise from the grave to live forever and ever along with Christ. So here's the great hope of Jesus Christ: reconciliation with the God of love and eternal, everlasting life. This is why Jesus was able to proclaim in John chapter 6, "Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes has everlasting life." Consider how much every single one of us dreads death. Think of how we don't want life to end. Think of the enormous cost and effort that we put into extending our lives. It's just an indicator of how much we don't want to die. The great 18th or 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon said regarding the hope flowing from faith in Christ, the risen Christ, he said this: "The connection of the resurrection and the gospel is this: it proves the safety of the saints. For when Christ rose, His people rose also. They rose to a life like that of their Lord, and therefore they can never die." And as R. Kent Hughes writes, "The memory of Jesus' resurrection, therefore, engenders a perpetual Easter season in the lives of His children." Ever thought about that? The resurrection of Christ then brings about an ongoing Easter in the lives of all of His children. You know, people all around the world put their faith in the teachings of all kinds of religious leaders, prophets, Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, L. Ron Hubbard, the list goes on and on. But have you ever considered that not a single one of them has ever returned from the grave as a verification of their claims of religious truth, of religious insight, of some sort of life after death? Every last one of them remains in the grip of death. But the good news of Jesus Christ risen proves all of Christ's claims. Christ actually returned from the grave. He truly is the living Savior. And thus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." So the Apostle Paul records, Jesus had words of eternal life, and he came back and he appeared and said, "See, look at my marks. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. I really did have words of truth." You know, in John chapter 11, Jesus declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Something like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we visited Bob at home. And we had a great time talking about life, the books that he's written, and of course, as has already been pointed out, his love of Bob Dylan's music. And as we talked, Bob let us know of something. He let us know that he was trusting in Jesus Christ. And you know what that means, don't you? Bob is alive right now with Jesus Christ in heaven. Barbara, Mark, Heather, isn't that comforting to know? Great. And this leaves only one question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because if you place your hope, and if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and his saving work on the cross, you too will live forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you who are the resurrection and the life, I do pray that we would remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Further, I pray that this truth, whoever believes in you, though he die, yet he shall live, would go forth with such Holy Spirit power that those who have not believed would now believe. And Lord, I also ask that you would comfort and encourage those here who are mourning the loss of their loved one. Comfort them with the knowledge that because Bob trusted in the promises of your gospel, that even now he is with you, you who are the fulfillment of the deepest yearning of our hearts and souls. And I also pray that in the days and the weeks and the months to come, that you, O Lord, would meet every need of Barbara and his family in time of loss. And Lord Jesus, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now if you would look under the seats in front of you, you'll find our hymnals. And if you would please turn to hymn number 460. Hymn number 460, Amazing Grace. Number 460, Amazing Grace. Please stand and let's sing together. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.